God, I'm not mute. I was muted. What an idiot. Here, I've been talking to myself for the last 5 minutes, and I was blaming MASH. Morning, everybody. I was just saying it's a hell of a start to a Friday morning, and also the beginning of, well, I'm gonna call it, okay? And I know people are going to say, don't jinx it, but I think we can say goodbye to winter. This week has been beautiful, and I've enjoyed every single minute of it. All right, let's bring in Masha Nisifuti. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Gareth? Sorry.
Yeah, well, great until I realized like I was muted and I thought it was you that was the problem, but it was me.
How it happens at this time of day.
Yeah, how have you been, man? What's up? What's news?
I've been amazing. I've just been minding my business. I've just been YouTubing away. And yeah, life has been pretty good. Life has been pretty relaxed. But I am still trying to, you know, stay on top of things. I'm not trying to be too relaxed, but life has been very relaxed overall.
You've been YouTubing away. That reminds me of when that guy, who's the dude who does Stephen, the podcaster, man? I should know this guy's name. Huh?
Who's Stephen? Stephen who? The podcast?
The guy who does that, it's one of the biggest podcasts in the world, man. What the hell's his name? Somebody can, in the comments, you'll remind me. Stephen Bartlett, that's it. Spot on. Thank you.
Oh,
Stephen,
yes.
Bartlett, when he was talking about, so he spoke about how he had a couple of glasses of wine, and then he said, over the next 3 days, I didn't podcast properly. I'm like, what does that even mean? I've been doing podcasting for 14 years, and I don't know what, okay. I didn't podcast, or I podcasted badly were his words. And I'm like, what the hell is that? That's not a term.
Gareth, I can kind of get that, actually. I can kind of get that. And I'm gonna explain it from a YouTube perspective. So here's something I've come to learn recently. This is something that has completely changed my life. That is, have fun in what you do and you'll accomplish amazing things. Just have fun in what you do. That's what I've learned. As long as you're having fun, you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. And with how this relates to my YouTube journey and me doing YouTube now has been, if I'm not having fun recording or editing an episode, it's like my audience can tell. It's like they can tell something's off about him. So I really have to have fun all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've come to learn that I have to invest in keeping myself happy. I have to invest in having a good time. I always have to be happy. I always have to be having a good time. And if I'm not having a good time, my audience can tell. So it's all about energies, and your audience takes your energy. And yeah, if you're not having a good time, if you're kind of miserable,
I don't disagree, right? I don't disagree with any of that. But the word, I think the term that he used, he said, I podcasted badly. Now, that's not correct. I mean, like, I don't, and I do get what you're saying. Like, if you're not having fun, then no one who's going to listen to or watch you is going to have fun. That's exactly right. And I think that's honest. And and people, you can tell straight away. You don't have to have been a listener or a viewer of a show for a long time. I can tell with the shows that I watch and pay attention to and subscribe to. I can see straight away if that person is not on form that day, if they're not they're not connected to what's going on. They don't really want to be in a conversation with those people they're talking to. You can tell straight away. But the problem I have is the term he used. I podcasted badly. I'm like, dude, that is not even a word. You can't say that. That's bullshit.
Yeah, how is that? What does that mean technically? Like, I talked badly. I talked badly in front of a microphone.
What is, I mean,
I'm not,
you know, entirely. So completely apart from the fact that that's a bullshit word, it's also like, it's not a, I don't think that that is a description of something that you can do. It's not well enough worked out that you can podcast badly or podcast well. I've heard shows, and I'm sure you have too, and maybe you even, there are a couple of them that are dodgy, but you watch them almost because they're so bad, right? That's entirely okay, because podcasting doesn't yet have established rules. It doesn't. I mean, there are shows that are great, and there are shows that are absolutely shit, and some of the shit shows have great audience numbers. So there's no way to tell. Sure. It's not like a science.
Yeah. No, there's no way to tell. So I guess You just have to figure it out as you go. But it's such a weird thing. Also, that Stephen Bartlett guy. He's the guy from Diary of a CEO, isn't he?
That's him, yeah.
Wasn't he getting cancelled recently? I think he was getting cancelled for
the people. I mean, there's always some cancellation going on. I know that this week the big story in the news this week that everybody's talking about is this Cambridge professor who killed himself last week in London. Mm. A guy called Jason Arday. And there's still loads and loads of news about that. But there's also, I know loads of women in South Africa and all over the world love these crime stories. And there's a massive story in America about this mom who strangled her three children because she was dealing with postpartum psychosis, okay? And it's turned into a massive argument in America. There are millions and millions of women who are like taking her side and saying, look, when you experience a psychotic break like that, that you are not responsible for your actions and they cannot find her guilty. And there are a lot of really stupid people too who are saying it's not even her fault, despite the fact that she has admitted it. She's the only suspect. There is lots of other evidence. And, you know, she's in court at the moment. She is the person who did it. But there are crazy people like that actress, Lisa Rinna, who says, no, it's her husband because he's a Gemini. And I'm like,
wait, what?
Thank God, Gemini. But that's his star sign. And this idiot is like, no, because he's a Gemini, it was his fault. I'm like, imagine if we had courts that were run by idiots like Lisa Rinna. They would look at your birth chart and decide whether you were guilty or not. It had nothing to do with the evidence. So that is the biggest story in America now by far, because you've got all these people talking about, you know, what it takes for a mom to get that out of touch with reality and who's that. She was on 6 or 7 different types of medication when she did it. Yeah, it's a horrible story. I mean, it's tragic in so many ways because she sent the husband out on an errand. She said to him, oh, won't you go and get the groceries or whatever? And while he was away, she strangled their three kids.
That is crazy.
It's the most horrific story. And this is the thing that America is obsessed with at the moment. But it is amazing to me when something like that happens. Obviously, that story is tragic in itself, but it just reveals how many very, very irresponsible and stupid people there are in the world who don't want anyone to get the blame for anything because they're scared they'll get the blame for stuff. There are people on planet Earth, Mash, who do not want personal responsibility for anything, right? And it's bizarre because these are the same people who argue that, you know, women are strong and independent and should be allowed to rise to the top of the corporate ladder and, you know, the patriarchy is the problem and everything. In the same breath, they don't want women to ever be held responsible for anything. They're like, no. When a woman is going through this, you don't understand as a man because of the hormones, because of the moon, because of this, because of that. She wasn't responsible.
But there's certain things you can't excuse. Mm. There's certain things can't excuse on that.
I'm with you. Like this is outright murder. I think she should spend the rest of her life in prison. She's already in hell because apparently what happened was she tried to kill herself after this too and jumped off the balcony or something. And now she's in a wheelchair because she's like paralyzed below the neck. So she's already paying a price for her cruelty, her stupidity, her immorality. I mean, there is no worse crime, if you ask me, than the murder of your own children. There isn't. There's nothing worse.
Gareth, this is traumatizing. Hey? Obviously, I agree. This is absolutely traumatizing. I don't know. How have I not heard of this story? Okay, I've been in my little bubble for so long. I think that's why. But this is traumatizing.
No, it's horrific. And I didn't want to start with that. I did see someone here made the comment, wow, that's a hectic story for a Friday. It's Lou. Yeah, listen, Lou, I mean, I wish I could give you like something. That's the biggest thing America's talking about right now. And it came out of nowhere. Apparently, this actually happened a couple of years ago, but it's taken this long to get to court.
Oh my goodness.
And it is true. It is true that there are many, many people, not just women, but people love that crime, that real true crime shit. They love it.
Oh, true crime is entertaining. True crime is really entertaining, especially if it's like a straightforward, I'm not going to say good guy, bad guy, you know, but especially when it's like, when it is kind of a good guy, bad guy situation, you know, when there's like someone was murdered, we look for the murderer, simple. Not when it's this complex and this intricate, where it's like a mother and her own children and a husband is involved. It gets mind-boggling at this level. It's traumatizing. What the heck?
Let's get back to some positive stuff. I mean, we're not going to be talking about that all morning. I can promise you. We've got some amazing people coming on today. We're going to be talking to two guys, and you know, we've discussed scams on the show before, and scamming is always big news in South Africa.
Oh, it's always popping. Scamming is always in season in this country, Gareth.
I don't know if you saw, but last week, Zelda, who was Madiba's PA for many years, Zelda Lachranzi, she was very nearly scammed out of some money by someone pretending to be, who was it? It was someone pretending to be from Vodacom. And they were also in cahoots with someone at her bank. I mean, they're getting very sophisticated now, right?
Aibo. Okay. Yeah. So the bank is involved.
And then what they did is she thought it was legit for a little while. And then luckily, I think, you know, the bank flagged, you don't give people this OTP that, you know, they always say, oh, we just need your OTP and then we'll verify that it's you. That's the, they'll clean you out, man. They'll take every cent you have.
They'll clean you out. Yeah. They'll take every cent you have and leave you like that. Oh my goodness. It's just strange how people are still getting scammed in this day and age, hey? But then again, these scammers are getting smarter and smarter. And I feel like with the prevalence of AI now and software like voice changes, the way software and technology has advanced, these scammers are able to do things that are terrifying. They can call you, Gareth, and pretend to be your mom. And pretend to be your mom and say, hey, I'm in an emergency. I need 10K now. And you'll send it because it's an emergency. And maybe your mom always needs money all the time. So you're like, oh, well, this woman always needs money. So let me just send it. Yeah.
No, it's true. There was also that story this week about, I think there's a massive scam warehouse in, I think, either Cambodia or Vietnam or somewhere around there. Where if you're a South African or Canadian or Australian or whatever, and you get arrested for, you know, drugs, trying to bring drugs into the country, and that part's very strict on drugs, then what they'll do is they'll lock you up, and the Chinese will take you from prison. They'll buy you as a slave and put you in this warehouse. And because you've got a South African accent, you can fool people better from South Africa. So if they're scamming South Africans, they want a South African to help them scam. And this is where you literally work for these scammers for however long you're there.
What? That is traumatic.
No, it's crazy. So as a result of that, we're going to speak to two guys who started a business called Motagora, which is a very funny name. I thought it was the name of like a evil superhero from the Marvel universe or something. But we'll find out where the name comes from, because these guys have figured out a way to make it possible for you to buy a car and not be scammed. Because you know what happens. You see a car advertised on something like Facebook Marketplace and you think, all right, well, that looks cheap. That looks good enough for my budget. Seems like a very nice car. And then you start talking to the person who's selling it and they say, please put down a deposit. So you put, you know, 50K down or whatever. And the next thing, your money's gone and there's no car and you have no money. So these guys have figured out a way to sort that out. And they've developed a system, which I think will be very useful to anybody who's buying or selling cars through their own private sales. So we'll find out about that. Wow. It's a very interesting product. We're also going to talk to, I haven't met a sex coach for a long time, all right? There used to be lots of these people. There was a woman called Dr. Ruth back in the 1980s, 1990s. She was this little Jewish woman who was the first person to ever talk about sex and orgasms and oral sex and all the different stuff back in the day. And she broke the ground in those days because nobody talked about that shit on television or on radio or anywhere else. Now, obviously, there are loads of people who are making a living out of this. And one of those people is Nikki Brivik. And she's in Cape Town. She's an accredited sex coach. And I want to find out all about what she's doing. She's also, by the way, a personal injury attorney. She was for 20 years. And I want to know if the two go together. Like, if you are having if you're having rough sex with someone and then you suddenly, you injure yourself, then how great to use the sex therapist as your personal injury attorney.
Two birds with one stone, coaching and therapy. What? Sign me up. Oh my gosh, that is crazy. What?
Lou says that it's sad that some people are gullible or desperate enough to get caught in a scam. Yeah, but Lou, until it happens to you, man, I used to think, oh, it's just old people, you know, these gullible old people. But it's not. It happened. I told you about the puppy scam that I was on this show probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was trying to get my parents a dog. And there was this website, all looked very legit. And I spoke to these people. They sounded very sweet. I checked it out. I did quite a lot of due diligence. And I said to them, here's the money. It was like 6 or 7,000 Rand for this dog. And they were sending it. And I was getting updates from them. And, oh, the dog's just arrived at the airport. And then there was no dog. It was all
flying
bullshit.
The dog?
Oh, they told me they have to because it's very, you know, it's precious cargo. And I thought, all right, well, of course, there was more money and more money. I mean, in the end, I was in for like 6 or 7,000 Rand. Ooh. And there was nothing. They just disappeared. As soon as I tried to find out what was going on, called the number back, nothing, Mash.
And keep in mind, you're probably not the only person they were operating on. It was you and 20 other people.
Absolutely.
At once. So they made 7K, 6K times whatever, how many people. These people are making a lot of money with this garbage.
And you know how stupid you feel because you think, I'm not a dumb person. I won't get caught out. I'll make sure that I check this. You check you put the bank details in and you're very careful to get it right. And you think, well, if they've got legit bank details, then my bank can just follow up if there's a problem. Well, they don't. They definitely don't.
Gareth, these scammers are getting smarter and smarter. As you know by now, I no longer work in corporate. But while working in corporate, I still kind of diddle and daddle in corporate still. I'm still kind of contracting.
That sounds dirty, Mash. Diddle and daddle in corporate. That sounds very dirty.
I'm just diddle and daddling over here and there. Yeah. So I'm just helping them out wherever. I'm just contracting. So they were like, oh my gosh, we can't let you go. Please help us out wherever. So I'm still contracting from time to time. And the amount, and so first of all, I used to work for like a Fortune 500 company. It's one of the big companies. And one thing in this organization that I picked up, the amount of cybersecurity attacks, the amount of mini scams, you have no idea how many people in the organization received emails from the MD, saying, hey, transfer this money. And they've had to start an entire campaign in the organization itself just to say, guys, nobody's going to email you and say, hey, send money. Someone has even been called by someone who sounded exactly like the director telling them that, hey, send money to this person. And it's just a lot. It's everywhere. It's rampant. And corporate made me realize how rampant cyber crime is. Because in our day-to-day, we don't really come across it all that much. But in that environment, geez, they're constantly being attacked all day, all night. So, hey, we just have to be careful out here. And with the rise of AI, we have to be extra careful. Despite everybody hating AI now.
No, you're spot on, and I do think there's already a backlash happening about AI, and we can talk about that in a second. But you are right about how corporate communications have to be, you know, filtered through this and that. And I know, for example, if you want to send a file to certain companies, like let's say we've recorded a show and we want to send someone a clip, and they've all got these massive firewalls and things that prevent you from sending anything bigger than like even a voice note is too much.
Yes. Yeah. It is a must because these companies are constantly being targeted. It's crazy.
Well, I've just been reminded by Mo Rabbit that I was also scammed because I paid my TV license like an idiot. So yes, that's true. I've been scammed twice then. So I'm a total gullible fool.
Yeah, no, is that still a thing? Really did. Is that still a thing though?
You know what? Everyone is going to love this more than I do. But Mash, a couple of years ago, I had to buy my domestic worker a TV, right?
Okay, so great.
Yeah, so I don't watch TV, and I don't care if there's no TV in my house. I haven't had a license in years, but I got this message from the SABC. Oh, you owe this much money. I don't know. It was 2,500 rand or whatever, and your TV license is due, and it's been due for a long time. So I just thought, let me just pay it to get them off my case. Bad idea, because now they. Once you've paid once, then they know you exist. They're going to keep coming for more, right? And everybody in the audience took the piss out of me for weeks, which I deserved. I shouldn't have got the license. There are ways to get TVs without having a license. You borrow someone else's or whatever. So I felt like an idiot. It's twice this morning. I'm being very humble today, admitting all my faults.
Oh, it's fine, Gareth. Look, you're a law-abiding citizen. You've paid whatever you need to pay. And life goes on, you know?
I'm an idiot. Oh, how's your family? Gosh. What's happening with them? We always love an update on Mash's family.
Oh, my family's amazing, Gareth. I last saw them 3 weeks ago. Yeah, approximately 3 weeks ago, I last saw my family. And my little brother, I actually got him... I'm so excited because I'm going to be documenting this for YouTube as well. So I'm going to go home once a month and document this. The same tablets. So I used appetite suppressants to lose weight. Well, to get me started on my weight loss journey. I used them for the first 3 months of my weight loss journey. Then I stopped because I learned healthier eating habits as time went on. And those same appetite suppressants, I actually took my little brother to the doctor and I got him prescribed those very same appetite suppressants.
Okay, so, I'm glad to hear these aren't like Fong Kong ones you bought on the side of the road.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not like my bleaching creams. They're actually like proper legit shit, you know?
Mash makes his own homemade bleaching cream, which I still think is a great business. You should seriously launch that.
I should launch that, actually. Just mix everything together with the hydrogen peroxide. Everybody looks good. Everybody's light. I think somebody in the comments even pointed out, who's this? It's Carl DeSanto said, Jira, I just switched. Bro needs to slow down on skin lightening. Michael Jackson just called and wants his gig back.
All right, but I derailed you. So you got some appetite suppressants for your brother. So how big is he at the moment? Like, is he enormously fat right now?
He started at 120 kgs, 120 kgs where he started. So yeah, before I even got him the appetite suppressants, he was 120 kgs, which is extremely heavy. I told him, like, you weigh as much as a picanto. You weigh way too much. You need to slow down. So at this point... So he started taking them 2 weeks ago. It's now been 2 weeks. And I told my parents as well that, Mom, Dad, I need y'all to send me updates on a weekly basis. So on a weekly basis, I need y'all to take pictures of him, take pictures of the scale as he's standing on it. I need weekly progress updates. So I'm proud to say that so far, he is now 114 kgs. So he's lost about 6 kgs thus far in
Pretty
the past
good.
2 weeks. So it's basically 3 kgs a week. It's like 3
but
kgs
you have,
a week.
You have to have those photos because fat people will lie about how much weight they've lost. They will lie.
They will
put some other stuff on the scale and take a picture. You want to see the feet? You want to see that on there. You want that validation from your mom or your dad. You got to know this shit. Otherwise, you can't track.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So my mom was even telling me that, because I can't see properly in the pictures that she sent, but she was telling me that even his clothes are starting to like become bigger. Because yeah, 6 kgs is a lot of weight to lose. 6 kgs is a lot of weight. So it's clear that it is working for him. And my main priority in helping him out with this was mainly, Gareth, you know, when you're gluttonous and food is all that's on your mind all the damn time, you just food, sugar all the time. Someone says I'm looks maxing. But
you are.
When you're always thinking about food all the time, you don't have room in your brain to think about anything else. Food takes over your mind. Food takes over everything. And it's something that I realized myself is that as soon as I removed food, that constant yearning, that constant hunger, that constant craving for food, even when I'm not even hungry, when I'm just bored, I learned that I'm able to now fill that time with stuff that makes me happy. I'm able to make myself happier with stuff that makes me happier. So I no longer feel a need to, even I'm driving, I'm like, oh God, I'm going home. I'm going to be bored. Let me just get McDonald's so I can just chow on something and watch some TV. Now I always give myself something to do. I keep myself busy all throughout the day. So that's what I told my parents as well, that listen up, he needs to lose weight so that he can find something to keep him busy. All my little brother does all day, he just goes on TikTok live and he just... Oh my gosh, his TikTok lives are so cringe. He's just asking men for money on TikTok live. Gareth,
I
can't even. And he just talks, oh my gosh, the way he talks to these, he's like, hey, daddy. Hey. That's how he talks to these people. Oh my gosh.
No. Haven't you ever wondered what kind of men are on the other end of that handing over money?
I am
Who
terrified.
Are these men? Like, who are these guys who are going online watching young men and women and then sending them cash for this horrible cringy stuff?
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
There are men out there who are into this stuff, because my little brother ain't out here asking for money. He's not working. He's just sitting at home at the moment, but he's not asking for money. So that to me was a sign that we need to keep his mind busy. We need to get things going. And I don't want him to fall into that rabbit hole where he's just like, oh, daddy. And there are people out there. Remember, Gareth, there's a whole community of people out there. And I'm going to be covering this on my YouTube channel. It's my channel name is just Mashy Y'all. But there's a whole community of people. They're called feeders. These are people who just thrive off of feeding people. They just want to see you get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it turns them on so much. The more you eat, the more they get turned on. And they love it. They want to feed you until you... They want to feed you until you... That's what they want to do. And it turns them on so much. And I feel like my little brother might have gotten himself mixed up in that community somehow. I don't know how. I didn't even know that there was a community like that targeting young boys, but here we are. So yeah, so I'm trying to get him out of that. I'm bulldozing him out of that little community he's found himself into. But yeah, it's weird. Gareth, there's a fetish community for everything. Anything you can think of, there's a community for it. There's someone who's willing to pay. It's terrifying out there.
Well, I suppose this is also, it falls under the scamming thing, right? Because Lou says, so in some way, your brother's scamming people. But I mean, they're voluntarily handing over the money.
No, he's not even scamming them. They know he's fat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm concerned because we've spoken about this online gambling stuff, right? And how dangerous that can be and how many people in South Africa, you know, they've made 1 week's wages and they go straight to like some kiosk in Sunnyside in Pretoria, or worse, they just go online on their phones and they play like Aviator or whatever. And the next thing you know,
100%, yeah.
Next thing you know, you're like, all your money's gone. That's also, it's not a scam because you know what you're doing. You're hoping to win, but also the odds are just not in your favor. And people say this, apparently that's the most popular thing in online gambling, is these dumb games where you like fly a plane and you hit like the coins. And I don't know how it works because I've never played it, but this is what people are mostly losing their money on. And that's not a scam, but people do this day in, day out because they want to, they're hoping, they're dreaming of striking it rich because they're so deep in the debt hole, or, you know, they just don't have any way out I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. This stuff is addictive. Online, spending money on the internet is addictive. Whether you're spending money, but paying some... There's people who are addicted to just paying people on TikTok, you know? Like, just watching people's lives and gifting them galaxies and just gifting people. And
correct.
You think to yourself, how much money does this person have? Is this person budgeting for these TikTokers? I've seen this on TikTok where people are just giving so much money to a person. You're like, where are they even getting this money? Where are they? So I don't know. I don't know what's happening out there. A lot is going on. But yeah, all I could do for my little brother is just help him out with losing weight. That's all I can do. Because I know that if he just loses weight, his brain is going to start functioning at a more reasonable capacity. And he's not going to be involving himself in all this weird shit that he's getting into. So I just want to get him out of that more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, if... You know, in the old days, if someone was hanging around in dodgy places, like, you know, the shopping mall late at night near the movies or whatever, then you would say to you'd say to the kid, like, get away from there. That's bad for you. There's some bad people there.
Yes, for sure.
And they would get it, you know. But now the bad people are on here, man. That's where they are.
They're all on here. They're all on our phones. Yeah. And they're constantly in your face. You don't get a break now. They're constantly in your face. They're constantly calling you. My little brother's on the phone from morning to evening. And my mom was like, there's a man he's talking to all day. We don't know who's this man. There's a man he talks to all day. I'm like, chill. We got to stop this. We got to put an end to this, chill. Yeah.
It's probably like some gross, like 60-year-old or 50-year-old man is like.
Yeah. 100%. I'm very much sure. I'm very much sure of that. So, it's weird, but it's not fine. I'm going to put an end to it. That's what I'm planning to do. Yeah. But it all starts with my little brother. I need to get him sorted and get him in a proper state of mind first by losing weight to begin with.
Vyasin says that there was a 16-year-old in Malmesbury who was running a global child porn network. FBI and South African police arrested him yesterday. Wow.
What?
A 16-year-old is running this thing.
That is crazy. What on earth is happening?
You know, like, I'm amazed by his entrepreneurial skills at 16, but the guy is dangerous.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. These kids with the internet, they're too good at the internet, Garrett. They are too good, hey? These kids are just appearing on the internet and they're doing the most immediately right off the bat. So, I'm at a point where the internet for me is just a job now. It's just a job. And yeah, also Gareth, I'm also against AI now. I'm becoming anti-AI. I think YouTube is what has made me anti-AI. But people on YouTube, well, my audience in particular, is so against AI. They're so against AI. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube, obviously. I do YouTube. I have to watch YouTube. And there's actually a breaking story at the moment that's happening on YouTube. There's a guy who is... how can I describe him? He's like a fitness trainer and he's a science-based fitness trainer. His name is Dr. Mike, actually. Dr. Mike Israetel. I don't know if you've heard his name before.
I've heard of Mike Israetel. Yes, absolutely. He's very good.
Oh, yeah, he is very good, Shane, but not anymore, apparently, because he dropped a book not so long ago. His latest book is called The Aesthetic Revolution, Embracing Vanity and the Future of Fitness to Unlock Your Healthiest Self. And recently, there's another YouTuber. His name is Solomon. Solomon has gone on as... So Solomon actually bought Mike Israetel's book. He bought this book, started reading it, and then he came onto YouTube to report back on what he read, on basically to give a review.
Yeah.
Turns out, like 90% of the book is AI. It's all just AI slop content. And... number one way to tell are the M dashes. There's like 1,000 M dashes per page. There's 1,000 M dashes. And AI speaks in a certain way, Gareth. AI utilizes the rule of threes. So AI can never say something is marvelous. AI will say it's marvelous, grand, and something else. You know, it utilizes the rule of threes when communicating.
Yeah.
So in his book, everything is described in three different ways, like marvelous, grand. Doing push-ups is great for the chest, great for this, and great for that. But it's all saying one thing. It's three statements saying the exact same thing. So yeah, this guy Solomon has been exposing Mike Israetel. His video is actually going viral now on YouTube. Wow. I think it's at like 500,000 views or something.
Isn't but it wild though that in the whole process of, you know, I've written two books and it's a quite involved thing because you do your first draft and then you spend a bit of time improving that, so you change words, you shorten sentences, you tidy it up in terms of grammar. And then when you think it's ready, you send it to effectively an editor who goes through, spells, you know, checks spelling, rearranges stuff again. They don't do major, they don't change the content, but they just tidy it up for you. And then eventually you get like a manuscript of the final book and what it's going to look like with a font and everything. So there are a couple of people who in publishing should be checking this stuff. I suppose there are lots of people who self-publish now. And then those checks aren't there. And maybe they run it through a Gemini or a ChatGPT or a Claude or whatever. But it's amazing to me that these checks aren't there. And even, you know, to go back to the Jason Arday story, because it seems like the theme developing today is, and this wasn't something I planned, but it seems that everything we're talking about is just these people who are either scamming or faking stuff and using technology to hide behind when they pull these confidence tricks on the rest of us. They're con men. That's what they are. These are people who have learned how to use AI to bullshit the rest of us into buying stuff and parting with our money. And it just seems like this is an absolute shit show at the moment. There's just no way we can roll back how, of course, technology is great and AI is terrific. And if it's used by the right people for the right things and you've got good goals, then it's amazing, right? It's going to change the world in positive and amazing ways. But it's wild. Like bad people, whether they're using a club to hit you over the head with or whether they're using AI to fool you with, those bad people will just use it as another tool to get what they want, which is usually money.
For sure. For 100%. Yeah. People are taking shortcuts. People are, I don't get why people are even entering creative fields with AI. It's like, why? One thing that really gets to me is when people use AI on, for example, YouTube thumbnails. And have you seen the AI art, Gareth? All these AI posters, they all look like slop. None of it looks good. It doesn't look appealing. Yeah. But the way people are overdoing it lately, oh my goodness. I mean, the other day I got an email from someone and I could tell it was typed by AI because of all the M dashes and all the emojis, everything. Mm-hmm. Instead of bullet points, they use stars. Who the hell uses star emojis as bullet points? Come on. We can see right. Someone else was using AI the other day and they sent me an email. And the email was about like an event and stuff like that, but it had no date. It said, please RSVP here. And I was like, look what AI has done. This person typed a prompt. They said, give me an invite for this. But they didn't check their email because their email had no date. It was like, please RSVP. RSVP to come join us. I was like, when? When? Should I go there now? What's going on? But because they used AI, they didn't double check these things. And AI hallucinates. It hallucinates. Yes, I'm at a point where personally, I am against AI now. I'm fully against AI. And from now on, even everything I do now, I try to eliminate AI from the process. I've come to realize that people, like even my thumbnails on YouTube, they aren't the best looking thumbnails, Gareth. They look kind of wonky, kind of clunky. But I've come to realize that's what people love. People love fact that they look kind of clunky because it's like, he did it. It's not some AI generated thing that he did in like 2.5 seconds and he wasted a gallon of water doing somewhere in America. So
so funny. I was at an event last night and I was talking to one of the people who runs Boss Models, and she's actually a friend of Gord Law's, and she was telling me about how these days she gets, you know, millions of people every year emailing her pictures of their children and saying, my daughter's so beautiful, you've got to make her a model or whatever. And they have these heavily, it's not just Photoshop now, because as you point out with the YouTube thumbnails, people completely make up a version of themselves that doesn't exist. And I was just thinking, imagine if someone sees you because they've seen they've seen you on social media, but you've used AI to enhance your appearance or whatever. And so they think they're going to meet this like 10 out of 10 person, right? And let's say you're going on a date or you're going for a job interview or whatever. And you pitch up and you are like way different to your picture that you sent. Those people are not going to be pleased. It's not going to work for you. You almost want to do the thing where you look uglier in a photograph. And then when people see you in person, they're like, oh, wow, actually, you know, you're quite good looking. It almost is like this perverse wrong way around thing. Where
That's what I thrive for in my content,
You want to be as ugly looking in digital format as you possibly can so that you can look great when they actually stand face to face with you. They're going to go, oh, you're not nearly as ugly as in your picture.
Yeah, that's what we want now. But the way people are overdoing AI, Gareth, it's just, and the sickest use of AI for me has to be when people use it on social media. They generate whatever, a picture of themselves standing on a beach, whatever. And then when people are complimenting them, they keep saying, thank you, thanks, thank you. I'm like, thank you for what? Thank you for what? That's not a real thing. That's not a real memory.
Bullshit.
Kim Kardashian put herself and her grandmother. I think she AI'd a picture of herself and her grandmother who passed away not so long ago. And people were not happy about that. They were like, why would you share a memory that never happened? Why don't you just share something that actually happened with your grandmother? You knew her all these years, 30-something years, you knew this woman. And you can't choose one picture out of all the pictures you have of her. You had to generate a picture. So it's getting kind of gross. I'm not going to lie. It's getting weird.
Maddie says AI is fun if you know how to use it properly. For example, you can build a voice agent to answer work calls. I mean, there are amazing things you can do. Carl DeSantos says, I'm on AI 8 hours a day. I've built about 40 projects since February. These are the smart people using it productively, right? I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get ahead of yourself, Carl DeSantos, now because I've called you smart. But clearly he is, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
AI works for dumb people. Never trust without verifying.
100%. That thing hallucinates. And the people who are using AI as their therapist, all that kind of stuff, people are now starting to realize that this thing is not as smart as we thought. And I'm glad that people are starting to realize that. It's great for coding. It's great for coding. It's great for productivity. But don't try to be creative using AI. I don't think it mixes with the creative side of things.
Here's Patrick who says, AI yourself in Hawaii with a palm tree. It's getting sloppy. It is. And also, I mean, people lack imagination, right? So you can have the best tool. You can have the most amazing tool in the world. And AI does some tremendous things. But if you're using it because you have no imagination to do dumb, repetitive stuff that everyone else has already been doing for like 5 months, then you just look You look stupid. It's not enhancing your reputation, making you look good.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Is that your alarm?
Yes.
Mash has got like a snooze button that keeps going off.
Okay, I just turned it off again.
So just quickly, because I know we've only got a little bit of time left, but you've completely quit the corporate world. You're now doing YouTube stuff full time, and you're making enough to live.
I'm making more than enough to live.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, and you don't have to go to the office early, sit in traffic, worry about any of that stuff.
No, my company was like, no, look, we still like you. We still want to work with you. Things aren't ending on bad terms. So they were like, no, you can keep contracting and working with us, which I agreed to. But it's just kind of, the moment I started just, staying at home, not going to the office, it's like something in my mind changed. Something in my mind was like, oh, it's not worth it. Whew, it's not worth it. Waking up in the morning, getting dressed, driving across town, it's not worth it. When I can just sit here, right where I'm sitting now, right in front of this camera that I'm in front of now, talk some shit, edit that together, put it online, people go ham. I have channel memberships. People are buying my merch worldwide. My merch is doing pretty good. And I can just
What kind of merch are you selling? Bleaching cream?
No, not bleaching cream. I wish. I'm selling mugs. I sell mugs. I sell shirts. With my catchphrases. I have a whole bunch of catchphrases on my channel, like demonic gluttony and carbon cop violence. And yeah, people love the merch.
Hey, really just it. Another thing before you go, because you really hit on this. I mean, it's something a lot of people have been talking about, but you've kind of made yourself famous, certainly on this show, whenever you come on for, you know, talking about fat people and how they should get their lives together. And you just told us about your brother, for example. But the evidence is mounting in your favor. I mean, there's obviously evidence now that diabetes is the biggest killer in South Africa. And we know that diabetes often can be prevented if you just keep yourself from eating too much sugary stuff, and your insulin levels will stay good and you won't get diabetes. I mean, like, there's some people who are, you know, born with a predisposition to this, but there are the vast majority of people who have, I think it's type 2, right? Type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
That can be prevented. And if you go to the doctor, they can warn you you're pre-diabetic, and it has a lot to do with pure diet.
Yes, because so based on studies, as of 2023, the amount of deaths due to diabetes were just under 28,000 in South Africa, which is the highest ever recorded number for diabetes deaths ever. So this means that the number of deaths from diabetes obviously are getting higher. But the most concerning part about this is the fact that these are just the people who are being screened. These are the people who were screened. So many other people have never been screened. And you see the kind of lives and lifestyles that people are living. Also, the age of diabetes has dropped significantly. People as young as 28, Gareth. 28-year-olds are pre-diabetic. 28-year-olds. And it's simply due to the lifestyle.
That's crazy.
It's the lifestyle that we're living now.
Yeah, you should not be getting diabetes in your 20s. It's just, that's really bad.
That is crazy to me. But you see, people are having, they're mixing pearl and orange juice. They're having mimosas at home. They're drinking. People drink from morning to evening. Morning to evening is how people are drinking.
So it's a problem.
They're just doing it up nonstop. And actually, I actually covered this in my latest episode on YouTube. South Africa has a diabetes crisis. And I covered all the different aspects and factors that are factoring into the situation. Of course, alcohol plays a very big role, but also ultra-processed food. We out here takeawaying it up every single day. And unfortunately, these are things that we as a society have to change ourselves. Nobody can make us change these things. So
Patrick says his dad had it, his grandfather had it, and his great-grandfather had it. That's type 2. Mm. He's 40 years old, but he does a pinprick every 2 months and cuts the sugars. So, you know, at least he's monitoring. But that's I do think that it's a widespread problem in this country, and we've got to address it.
Yeah,
I do want to show you this quickly, Mash. Carl says, Mash, your merch, are those the mugs that are black until you pour the hot water in and then they become white, a bit like you?
No.
And then this comes from Rolene. She says, I haven't been here in a while, and seeing Mash now for the first time in a while, he looks so beautiful. Yeah, there we go. Like his whole face changed completely. Yeah, look at you, Mash. You're killing it.
That's what happens, getting enough sleep, not waking up early in the morning to get to an office, and just, you know, chilling through life now, not suffering for my money.
Well, it's always nice to check in with you. Please keep us updated on your brother, because now you've involved all of us. Now we're all involved.
Yeah.
Now we all need to
I'm going to start a whole YouTube series. I'm going to start a whole YouTube series
gorgeous.
Just documenting my brother.
I love it. All right. Go and follow Mash. Make sure that you check out his YouTube and all his other social media. And we'll catch up with you again soon, Mashiane. Thank you.
All right. Ciao, Gareth.
Nice to see you, man. Cheers.
All right.
There's Mash, who we haven't had on the show for a couple of weeks, and we thought we'd check in with him. Always good to find out what he's up to. On his crusade now against diabetes, his brother's fatness, and lots of other things.